Well, hello, everybody out there on the internet, whoever might be watching on YouTube, Twitter, VK, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitch. This is David Rovics, your host of the 11th weekly Pandemic Open Mic Monday. If you happen to have signed up to participate and you are wondering where the email is with the link to the StreamYard studio that we're broadcasting from, as they call it, virtual studio, then check your spam folder filter, because it could have gone on there because I didn't write emails to every individual. I just wrote a group email to all the potential participants with that link. So, but we have a wonderful queue full of fabulous performers from both sides of the Atlantic, as has been the tendency for this really cool open mic that I have been having the honor of hosting for the past 11 weeks. And next week will be 12 weeks. Because I don't know what else to do with my weekdays other than host live stream events. Because, they don't have the protests in the morning generally. So, yeah, if you want to sign up for the next one, it says on the bottom of the screen how to do that, davidrovics.com/POMM, Pandemic Open Mic Monday. And with no further ado, I will kick off this open mic. I have my co-host here, my daughter Koto, who is asleep. So I'm not going to try to play the guitar while I'm carrying her because that will quite likely wake her up. I could have put her on my back maybe and tried that, but that's too fancy. I'm not up for the challenge. But I will read you a poem anyway. It is the beginning of July. It's now the 6th of July. So, among everything else that's going on in the world, in the country, along with more protesters being killed by right wingers with cars and guns over the weekend, and more statues coming down, and a lot of else going on over the weekend, to say nothing of what happened last week. But among other things is the rent is due for the renters of much of the world. And in this country, I think last month there was something like one out of three renters did not pay their rent, in at least not in full. Maybe not at all. I'm not sure what the numbers are exactly, but it's a real serious crisis. It was a serious crisis before, and now it's getting much more serious. It was a crisis before the pandemic, but now, whole different level of crisis. And at the end of what was at the end of May, I wrote this letter to my landlord. I've been writing an open letter to my landlord every month that I publish in various places just to encourage people to, do the same and take a little heart from my letters, perhaps. And I tried in a month at the end of May, I decided my letter should rhyme. So I'll read you the rhyming letter I wrote rather than the other letters, which might be entertaining, but don't rhyme, This one, I called it Dear Landlord. It was slightly outdated because the suspension on evictions in Oregon goes now until the end of September. So the reference to June is old, luckily. Dear Landlord, I wrote a letter to the Randall Group to enumerate their crimes. This time, I made sure the letter rhymes. It'll soon be the first of the month, so we thought we'd write you a letter. Not that you ask, but all of us struck by the virus are starting to feel better. We thought we should let you know once again why the time we've spent has still not included writing any checks for the rent. I doubt you're even reading this, I'm not going to lie, but just in case you are, here are some of the reasons why we'd rather keep our money instead of giving it away to your rich investors come what may. Because you don't need the money. In fact, you guys are such toffs. You have to donate millions just to get a tax write-off. In your magnanimity, all the millions to charity you stole from all your renters? What fucking barbarity! Because in case you didn't realize, your renters have been moving out. every time you raise the rent, let there be no doubt. You're making people homeless, forcing kids to live in cars, while you and your investors go to galleries and wine bars. Because you brag of your philanthropy while your tenants drown in debt? Because I'm not exactly sure how much more fucked up things can get? Because you actually raised the rent in the midst of a pandemic? Because over the years, you've made sure the problem is systemic? Because you and your corporate lobbyists with Multifamily Northwest have lobbied all the legislatures to make sure conditions are the best for you to underpay your workers, while with each passing year, you've made it ever more impossible for them to even live near here? Because there's asbestos in the ceilings and mold upon the walls? Because this carpet is fucking ancient, and that's definitely not all? Because you own hundreds of buildings up and down the coast? Because corporations like yours are getting bailed out the most? Because you keep reminding us of the money you say we owe in the middle of a new Great Depression as bad as 90 years ago? Because the government is paralyzed? No one's answering their phones. They say they'll send us assistance, but there's just a dial tone. Because the suspension on evictions goes till the end of June, and there are lots of our fellow renters singing the same tune. Because you, Randall Group, are slumlords, and at the end of the day, something has to give. Things can't go on this way. So I'll just say, in conclusion, this is a lovely spot for a post-eviction future when it becomes our squat. But until that happens, we can be reasonable, in fact. We'll consider paying half the rent if you send us a new rental contract. And that's my poem for the day. I have written songs about falling statues and police murders in the past week, but I will just let anybody who wants to hear those songs look online and find them. They're on my YouTube channel. And with no further ado, a little housekeeping. We'll be doing a one song each open mic today, because it looks like we got plenty of participants. And we're going to start out by going to Birmingham, England, to Graham Langley and Bishop, I believe. Hello.
Hi.
Great to see you again. How are you holding up?
We're holding up pretty well. Good. Doing a lot of work in the garden and on the allotment. Beginning to get some potatoes out of there.
My allotment is an end plot. I had a t-shirt that said that.
I love that. Do you use the plot to describe an allotment?
Yeah, we sometimes do. Yeah.
Okay.
So I am a plot holder.
Yeah, you're a plot holder.
And a plotter. Actually, I think it would be better if we were called plotters.
It would be better?
Yeah. It would be better if we were called plotters.
I think so. I love the new songbook, by the way. Where can people find it?
www.tradartsteam, short for traditional arts team, tradartsteam.co.uk, and all the information is on the opening page. And I mean, we usually publish one a year. So we published one in April. Then a couple of weeks later, we published a supplement with 10 more songs. A few weeks later, we published another one. We just published our third supplement. So there's just so many things to write songs about.
Yeah, people are being very productive.
Uh-huh, that's right.
Because
people are so angry and they can see the nonsense around us.
And that's very inspiring, along with the contradictions. I think always good fodder.
We had a great choral song today. What was that called?
These are the bastards.
This is called.
Oh,
great! Beautifully sung by a choir. Really great.
Wonderful.
Great. Can you do a song for us?
Yeah, sure. This is a song that I do occasionally at Sing Political, and we publish the political songster really to give people at Sing Political some material. And we're still running that every couple of weeks on a Wednesday night. And this is a song I sing quite often. It's the song for the climate. And it just strikes me the climate is such an important thing right now. And the same people who are the climate deniers are also the COVID-19 deniers. They're the same people ignoring everything that goes on. But there is also another reason for doing this song tonight, which will become apparent halfway through when we do something new and special, which will blow your mind.
Okay, you ready?
Literally. Oh, no, hang on. There's lots of chorus in this. And I think the great thing about doing these online sessions is that you're all alone in your home, or maybe you're with your family, and it is really a great opportunity to just sing out loud. And so we're listening out for the voices from around the world coming across the Atlantic to us as you join in the chorus. So here we go. We need to wake up. We need to wise up. We need to open our eyes and do it now, now, now. We need to build a better future, and we need to start right now. We're on a planet that has a problem. We've got to solve it, get involved and do it now, now, now. We need to build a better future, and we need to start right now. Make it greener, make it cleaner, make it last, make it fast, and do it now, now, now. We need to build a better future, and we need to start right now. No point in waiting or hesitating. We must get wise, take no lies and do it now, now, now. We need to build a better future, and we need to start right now. We need to build a better future, and we need to start right now.
Yeah. Love the tuba accordion company.
A world premiere.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Really, one of the best versions of Bella Ciao. Bella Ciao. Great.
No, well, we just thought that's my coronavirus musical work, and I'm just accompanying. You know, Pam plays a concertina, so it'd be quite nice for me to accompany Pam, and that's what we did.
Perfect.
Brilliant.
Who knows what might happen next?
Who knows?
Hope it didn't wake the baby up.
I got headphones on.
Okay.
Maybe it's me talking.
Take care, bye.
Yeah, and everybody out there, if you do have songs, just send them to us, and we'll be considering a new supplement in, I know, maybe 2, maybe 3 weeks' time.
Oh, wonderful.
Tradartsteam.co.uk.
That's it.
Wonderful.
Excellent. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
And a couple of my songs are in their latest songbook as well, in case that's any, helps anybody, go check it out. You should. Let's see if Dave Rogers, staying in Birmingham there. Let's see if Dave.
Five,
is...
six.
Hey. Wonderful. Two, it worked. Whatever you
wow.
Did, amazing. I can hear you. Fantastic. Dave okay. And Antonia. Good to see you guys. Hey.
Are we going to see if we can get
let's
images
the
to work?
The screen share thing? Let's see. Let's experiment. Live.
Okay, I've got,
on
I've
this.
Got it on I've got it on screen share and it's come up
good.
And it says allow. So shall I try
excellent.
To do that?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Allow. Does it work? Oh, what's this? Hey. Look
wow.
At that.
Oh, wow.
And that, but now it's just sharing your whole screen. Rather than a particular graphic.
Looks like. It ain't going to work, is it?
Somebody who was on the... that was Zoom. No, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Looks like it's similar, but it's not doing the same thing.
Let me see if I can do it. Let me try one more thing. We'll try one more and see.
It looked hopeful, though.
Yeah,
because it did pop up as like something that I could share. You know, it's just what we shared was your whole screen. But no, I need to experiment more.
So it'll ask me a window. It says select window or screen. I got it. It actually came up here. Ha!
Oh, good. Oh, let's try it. Great. And then you can
hello.
Do you want to
what
see
you
if
did.
It works? I don't know.
Yeah. Where is it? Is that it? There we
can
go.
You see that?
Oh, gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Yep.
Yeah. That's at least.
Okay.
Yeah. It's still your whole screen, but it's bigger anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent.
So, did you want to introduce?
Okay. I'll this is a song which I wrote a good few years ago. It's called Wild Geese. We wrote it for Banner Theatre, which is the company I work with. And basically, it was looking at the fact that our National Health Service in the UK could not have been established if it hadn't been for migrant labour. And this song focuses on immigrants in 1948 coming to work in the NHS from Ireland and from Jamaica, Afro-Caribbean. Which was very much the kind of central area of immigration at the time. I think if you look at the NHS today, massively dependent on migrant labour, despite the fact that under this government they're trying to limit the number of people who come to this country. The NHS could never have been established without migrant workers, and it would not exist today without people coming from all over the world. I think this is particularly relevant at the moment when you have a situation when black and ethnic minority workers in the NHS are four times more likely to die of COVID-19 than the indigenous people. This song is it's called Wild Geese, and it's also worth pointing out that for people in the States, there's been a big issue here called the Windrush issue, and that was people who were coming across here came in a boat called the Windrush in the 1940s, and that generation were known as the Windrush generation. And recently there's been a scandal because the government's been kicking people out of the country who came over in 1948 because they didn't have the right bits of paper, despite the fact that they've worked for 40-50 years in this country. So the song is called Wild Geese. And we will see if it works with the images which Antonia has put together. Here we go. By Erin's Isle, we're crossing the sea. But nothing much at all but a handful of dreams. Farewell to Strabane, not a man to be found. Wild geese have flown to a black country town. Goodbye to the sun and the blue, blue sky. You stand on the deck and wave goodbye. One last look at the land you adore as you see a broken heart on the Caribbean shore. Wild geese the deck and dream of success. Plenty of jobs in the NHS. Payments of gold across the Irish Sea. Tears in your eyes as you walk down the fishermen, farmers from Montego Bay, sugarcane workers, St. Kitts emigres, Calypso carousers from Barbadian shores, the Liverpool infirmary scrubbing down the floor. Wild geese spread their wings and sail across the sea. Cooks in the kitchen, cleaners in the hall, porters in the theatre, nurses in the ward. Goodbye Tipperary, farewell Skibbereen, a washing dirty dishes in the ward canteen. They didn't like their accents, the colour of their skin, needed their work, didn't want them in. They did all the jobs no one else would do. No Irish, no blacks in Britannia Avenue. Wild geese spread their wings and sail across the sea. Cared for the old, the summers were wet, winters were cold, a night nurse in Bilston is doing her rounds, dreaming of the sunset in old Spanish town. They were young, they were strong, they were keen, they were proud, they came from the land, they were bold, they were loud, they were just passing through, didn't mean to stay, ended up stranded on Bottom Line Bay. Wild geese spread their wings and sail across the sea. Wild geese spread their wings and sail across the sea. Wild geese spread their wings and sail across the sea.
That's a fantastic.
I gather from that the images never made it.
Yeah, the images didn't work somehow. It turned blank, but you didn't need them. I mean, there was. I'm sure the images are great, but that song was fantastic. Great song about
shame,
immigration and prejudice. But it's gorgeous. Next,
see, we'll, on Zoom, it's straightforward. You can it. We've done several now, and it's,
yeah,
it's,
I'm sure it's
a nice
straightforward here. It's,
you know,
just a question of figuring out what kind of straightforward. It's a different button.
Well, we found Antonia found one of those workshops online, and my God, it was so complicated to try and get. I thought we gave up.
Oh well, StreamYard, they only just introduced this feature, so whatever you might have found online might be dated. I mean, it might have been much more difficult, but now it's supposed to be really straightforward as of like last week.
Yeah, but, it should have done that. I thought
it should have.
You know,
it looked like it was going to. It looked all set up to do it, and then it would turn blank. So I'll figure it out. But hope to see you again soon, and by next time, I'll hopefully have that feature figured out.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Right. Okay, take care, guys.
Okay, bye-bye. See you, David.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah, technical stuff, technical issues, and time issues. And this is one of the primary reasons for the time issue, this cute little baby. Staying on that side of the ocean, but across the Irish Sea from Birmingham, Stephen McRandall.
Yeah, what about you there?
Great to be,
still kicking. I just had
Dublin still there.
Yeah, that's still there. They had a 4th of July showing of the 13th documentary about the prison service in America.
Oh, my God.
The family service in America or whatever.
Named after the 13th Amendment that abolished slavery and then basically reintroduced mass incarceration as an alternative. Yeah.
Yeah. They were showing that down in the squad. The squad acts as kind of social center as well, as much as it can, you know.
Great.
They were showing that down there. And
great.
I went down just to see the people, but I didn't actually sit in. I'm up to here. I can't take any more. Whatever. Yeah, you know what I mean. Like I know it. I know the images. You know what I mean. And it's great that they put that on. I was really pleased that they put it on, and it was really nice that people came to see it. And I went down to see the people, but I didn't actually sit in and watch the documentary. There you go.
Yeah.
I'm a bit nervous today. I remember when my child was your that age. It was a lot easier. She's 15 now. She can be hard work.
Don't tell her you said that. Yeah, they're much more independent. There's at 15, then the options are just wide open. So it's not like at this age, I'm the center of her universe. So
at that age, you are the world.
I'm the world for her, right? After they turn 5, it's totally different.
Yeah.
From 5 up.
You know what I mean? I'm glad she's 15 anyway, but she's.
I hear you. Much more complicated.
The story I'm going to read tonight is a story from about 10 years ago.
Great.
And it also flips back in the story till about 35 years ago. So.
Oh, great. Wonderful. Confusing. Looking forward to trying to follow it.
And it lasts about 13 minutes. So, all right, I'll start reading now if I get this damn thing up. Yep. Here we go. It's called More Misadventures. Man has stuck his name and a photo of himself up on Facebook, and someone from his past got in touch with him. For Manus, it was a much appreciated contact. He was down in the dumps living in Dublin. An old man from Belfast. No one knew him. He had met a few people, but they were all far too straight by far for the likes of Manus. It wasn't just that they hadn't done enough mind-altering illegal drugs. It was their whole outlook on life. They'd never been on the wrong side of the law, been homeless or squatted houses. They'd never been beaten by the police or chased through the streets by thugs while the police looked away. They were straights. We believed the straight view of the world as portrayed on the flat screen. They never thought about it, but if pushed, they would say they believed there was a democracy in which they could affect social and economic decisions, and a free press which presented them with all the necessary information to make those decisions. Then they said druggies were delusional. It was great to have Mom contact them on the net. The message said, "Do you remember Ingleston Common?" Then there was a name, Marmara, and a telephone number. Manus got a glowing feeling just thinking about Ingleston Common Free Festival. The fact that there had been free festivals. He had travelled from Stonehenge Free Festival in convoy, perhaps as many as 50 vehicles, cars, vans, buses, flatback trucks, caravans and motorbikes. It had been during the Thatcher years, and the police were all pulled up and pushing for a ruckus with the drug-crazed anarchistic rabble the press had dubbed the Peace Convoy. As a show of strength, the police in riot gear lined the bridges going over the motorway and blocked the entrances to the motorway stations, thereby denying the convoy fuel. A few inexperienced young bucks broke from the ranks and tried driving into the service stations as just ordinary citizens who had the right to refuel at a motorway station. They were captured. Then the convoy's lead vehicles swerved across the motorway and cut their engines. It was mid-afternoon on one of the busiest motorways in England, and if the vehicles of the convoy weren't going to be allowed to refuel and continue their journey, then neither was anyone else. Police could trash the vehicles and arrest the people, but that motorway was going to remain blocked for at least a day. That would cost trade, money, inconvenience, not to mention the media coverage it would get, and the police quickly capitulated. They allowed the convoy to refuel and escorted them to a piece of common land just outside Bristol, Ingleston Common. Marmara had turned up on that side. She was working as a prostitute from a massage parlour in St. Paul's in Bristol. She told Manus they were both furball monkeys who would be of use to each other and brought him home with her to her boudoir, complete with her waterbed, her mirrored wall and her Turkish light fittings. She gave him the money for a pound of Jamaican weed and sent him up in the herb business. On the day Prince Charles and Princess Di got married, Manus had sat with Marmara and the rest of the girls from the toss shop, who celebrated the day off work with champagne and cocaine. They mostly listened to reggae and dub music. Prince Farai posted about heavy manners, discipline, discipline, heavy, heavy discipline. But Marmara also had some American country-like singer who sang about beat the ladies of fame at the ladies' own game. Manus would always remember the line, if not the song or even the singer. From his 20s, Manus could remember many misadventures. Marmara had featured in a few. Thinking back to those heady, lawless days, it seemed like a dream. The message from Marm was like confirmation that his memories were real. Manus phoned the number and it was her, alive and kicking. She'd got her hands on some cash too and said she wanted to send him a ticket to come visit her in Cyprus and see how she lived now. He was overjoyed at the contact, some kind of continuity to his life. It seemed he had up and moved on so many times in his life, cutting off a little piece of himself each time he moved. Contact with Marmara was like contact with his amputated self. So, yeah, Marm, he said, fly us over to Cyprus. She got annoyed that he couldn't just up and fly over that day. What was the matter with him? Had he become an old man? So stuck in his routine that he couldn't just get up and take off? And he had to admit that he was. He had this 5-year-old daughter now, Sharifa. Her well-being was his priority and it wouldn't be good for her if her dad just upped and off. He knew then Cyprus probably wasn't really such a good idea. Yet it was wonderful, the contact with Marmara, the confirmation that someone else shared the same past experiences as him, but bringing that character back into flesh and blood contact. Marmara could be generous, good-hearted, but she was also a difficult enough human being to be with. She didn't have any reason to love Manus either, except in the same way that he loved her. It's part of his past, some sort of passport back to the days of rebellion. Days of virtual no-go areas for the police in certain sections of cities all over the British Isles. Days when people believed they were going to chant down Babylon. Days of free festivals. But that whole counterculture was dead now. Dead and denied, like it never really existed. Manus had, decades before, loved Marmara and left her. But he had seen her a few times since then. The last time he had seen her, they hadn't been lovers for years, and he had called round out of the blue after a fight at work. She was still on the game, advertising herself as a mature woman, and she had a punter call. She asked Manus to be quiet while she went upstairs, but then was back down in 2 minutes, wrapped in a towel, asking him if he would come upstairs and fuck her for a bit, and she would give him 20 quid. It was a strange scenario for Manus. Apparently, her punter was paying extra to have someone else go first. Manus would have done it for free. But he'd noticed it then as she'd raised her legs up, her flesh getting flabby, and had wondered how long she could keep charging men for the privilege of touching it. In the year 2011, Manus's last lover had been the mother of his child, and she'd been 20 years his junior. But she had shown him the full viciousness of unconscious youth in the child custody battle, and maybe he was ready for a more mature relationship. Hell, he was old himself now. Maybe Marmara and he could be lovers again. She had been 12 years older than him. He wondered if she could still raise her old legs up. Maybe they could laugh at each other's ailments and still find some sexual pleasure. In any event, Manus and his daughter flew to Larnaca. Marmara hadn't aged well. Fast food, alcohol, and pills from the doctor had taken its toll. She moved with a slow effort of age that Manus understood, although his own body denied all logic, and in spite of its abuse over the years, it remained fairly healthy. He even still had a full head of black hair, most of his own teeth. When Sharifa went to bed the first night, Manus and Marmara sat with each other. They talked of friends who had died, Spider, Phil the Bear, Graham Gaskin, characters from back in the day, and then had little to say. Manus was not the wild young brave Marmor had persuaded back to her reservation, and she wasn't the ass with class persona she had been either. She twirled her once luscious dark, now lank grey hair between her fingers. There was a residual element of coyness in the gesture, but sex didn't really seem to be an option. She was on some mood enhancers from the doctor, and mostly she watched TV all day. Manus hated that kind of stuff, as Marmor had a quarter century before. He would rather be crazy and unhappy rather than have sanity and happiness as prescribed by the pharmaceutical and TV companies. Whatever they were supposed to be doing for Marmor, they weren't working. She was intransigent and dogmatic most of the time. One particularly bad day, Manus and Sharif had stayed out as long as they could, and too tired to walk any longer, they caught a taxi. Then there it was on the floor of the taxi, a wallet. Bunch of 50s bulging out. Manus hadn't the cash to pay for alternative accommodation for a fortnight, but there it was just sitting on the floor of the back seat. He thought about it. He picked the wallet up, stuck it in his bag. When they got home, Marmor was pissed off. They hadn't stayed out long enough, or they'd stayed out too long. There was no pleasing the woman. Manus asked her if she ever had a good day, and she warned him about another crack like that. And Manus was glad he had picked the cash. He was going to need it. He took Sharif out again under the pretext of getting ice cream. He ditched the wallet in some long grass and pocketed the cash. 640 euros. He felt sick. He didn't like thieving from individuals. Corporations, companies, banks, governments, he didn't give a toss for, but individuals, nah, it wasn't cool. He was the sort that would need to talk to someone about it too, and he would have no one he could tell. He thought he could buy Sharif for things, but it still didn't feel good. He had a crap feeling in his guts. Then he sent a text to say the police had called looking for him. Of course, the wallet's owner had contacted the taxi firm, and the taxi driver had given his last first address. Of course, Manus could still get away with it. The wallet was ditched and the cash was untraceable, but no, he just wouldn't be up to it. And the thoughts of getting arrested for theft while in charge of his daughter in a foreign country sent shivers through him. No. He managed to find the wallet in the long grass where he'd thrown it, stuck the cash back in, and brought it down to the cop shop. They said he might be in for a reward. He just raised his eyes and shook his head. He got back to Marmor's. He felt relief and gratitude for all he had. Sharifa slept safely and soundly, and Manus sat beside her. As was his habit, he tried to scribble down some semblance of a story around his experiences. The story told of an old lover, a free-spirited, strong woman he had met at a free festival. A woman who would have despised this ugly caricature of herself, trapped in some rut of vicious behaviour. The story went up to the point where Manus brought the wallet down to the cop shop, got back to Marmor's and felt grateful for what he had. The story went on to help Marmor wake up to all the treasures she had, not least amongst the treasures being the visit by Sharif and her dad. And in so doing, Marmor broke the habit of lashing back at all the vicious blows life struck her with, a habit she had carried on even when life had ceased to deal her vicious blows. Manus left his story, like all his stories, an effort to get his point of view across, where Marmor would find it and read it. And find it and read it she did. She never admitted reading it, though. She denied it when he asked her. But she quoted lines and incidents from the story, and she did try her best for half a day or so to behave as though she were with friends, people she could be easy with, people who didn't want to rob or beat or cheat or dominate or belittle her in any way, people who had a sense of respect and even affection for her. They all had breakfast in Marmor's room, Marmor brushing Sharifa's hair, explaining to the inquisitive five-year-old what a September monkey and a March rooster was. But it didn't last much more than half a day before the drugs wore off or kicked in, or she just slipped back into some mental rut where she had to fight back, even though no one was fighting her. Whatever. Sharif and Manus left Marmor's a few days later. They found a hostel they could afford. At the hostel, Sharif met a Romanian boy named Matteo. Manus met a French-Canadian woman named Manon. Manus called back on Marmor before they left. Sharif didn't want to. Sharif at 5 years old still adored her father and had been thrilled to meet someone from his world, daddy's old friend. And Marmor had disappointed Sharifa, so Sharifa didn't call back with him, but Marmor wasn't the worst. There was a touch of Miss Havisham about her, the hurt, twisted and bitter touch. Manus tried to kiss her before he left. He wanted to be affectionate, but the only part of her that seemed to be open to a kiss was her hand, which could have resembled a devotee kissing a priestess, or a pupil kissing a teacher. He hoped it wasn't too much like a peasant kissing the rich. Manus was still an old man from Belfast, living in Dublin, where no one knew him. Most people that he knew from his youth were now grumpy old ones, stuck in their ways, or dead. The dead ones were easier to love. The live ones were harder to deal with. That's the story for today.
More fantastic, powerful, heavy stuff from Stephen McCandle. Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, David.
Racing the screen.
It's wonderful what's happening in America at the moment. It's scary as well. I don't know if we're going to win it this time through, but it's certainly the start of it. You know what I mean? If we don't win it this time, we'll come again, you know?
But I think so.
We might even push through this time, you know what I mean? But
the main options are victory or extinction. So it's kind of,
you know, it's our choice. You know, so yeah, they're doing well in America, you know, part of the people.
Yeah, it's good. The uprising is good, and the response is terrifying. You know, there are more protesters killed over the weekend.
Yeah.
Take care, Stephen. Talk to you soon.
Loads of love. Respect.
You too. And then, speaking of the United States, our next and guest is our first guest from the United States, other than me, partway towards the East Coast, but closer to here. Per Andreasen, great to have you back.
Hello. How's it going?
What's been happening in your little town in the Dakotas, and any statues coming down, protests going on?
No.
People driving into them?
No, well, not for a couple of weeks. There was a when the big protest, the biggest protest in Fargo, somebody did run into a protester there, and the protester survived, and so that was fine.
And that was an intentional running in, and the protester is badly injured, or any idea?
I'm not sure what their status is now. Intentional, I mean, they drove around a police barricade and accelerated, so...
Yeah, very intentional.
I mean, if not...
Exactly what happened in Seattle.
Yeah. So, otherwise, it's been kind of quiet here the last couple of weeks. There's work going on, but it's mostly in the background. I'm part of an effort to get a CSA food hub type thing set up. So that's been the focus of my efforts.
Is this like a mutual aid project in terms of the problem with hunger, and especially people with small children? We've been hearing about on NPR and stuff. I guess it's really widespread.
Yeah, it's part of that. We've got a lot of local urban and suburban sort of agriculture here, because it's the Red River Valley and the soil's incredible and there's a tradition of farming and whatever. But a lot of these farmers don't have real access to, because they're small farmers, they don't have access to good markets. And because the farmers markets are that they normally would depend on are closed down, a lot of them are facing pretty rough economic headwinds. There's a wholesaler in town who offered kind of out of the blue to just give us space in their warehouse to centralize CSA distribution. So it's less of a truly anarchist mutual aid project and more of a, hey, there's this opportunity.
Yeah, to great.
Help some folks. And so let's capitalize on it while it's there.
Didn't Dylan write a song about the Red River Valley? Or was that, you know that song?
It wasn't a Dylan song. But I forget who wrote it, but it was co-opted by the Texas country sort of, because there's a Red River Valley in Texas as well.
Oh, okay.
But it was written about this one. So just saying.
Great.
It's in Rise Up Singing. I keep thinking I should learn it and cover it. Maybe when there are gigs again.
Right. Yeah, it's a good time to wait till then, maybe. What you got for us today?
Well, I was listening to your CD release party and realizing, man, there are a bunch of songs that I have stopped practicing. And
you heard me totally mess up one of them. I couldn't remember it. I just wrote it, but yeah.
Right. Yeah. I was like, I've stopped having pressure to rehearse, and I've definitely stopped rehearsing. So,
yep.
I looked back at some songs that I hadn't played in a while and was like, I actually like playing a lot of these. And so I worked on a couple of them last night, and this is one of them.
Great.
I wrote this in Ohio. I was on tour with a, children's theater company. And I was sitting in the parking lot of a Motel 6 somewhere in central Ohio. And I just started listing off the things that were, that I could see in this parking lot. And it wasn't much, but it became the chorus of the song. Anyway, here it is. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall and had a rough October. Listless days and friends masquerade, some encouragement to get sober. I heard he was there at your Halloween party. Afterwards ended up out on the highway. Broke down in Iowa, south on I-80. Mid family farm cairns and falling down barns. He made it to the truck stop, but barely. His eyes were a couple of skinnies, hunting horns howling in on the breeze. Amid bottles of pee and bumblebees, there's a freeway rolling past stands of trees. Now Humpty is counting his quarters, as a vendor teased some fancy grilled cheese, and every breath brought a new kind of torture. He thought, God, I should have planned better, but he drowned it out in empty brain chatter. Amid bottles of pee and bumblebees, there's a freeway rolling past stands of trees. And he hitched a ride going any which way, on a bike riding bitch to a preacher. They made it to Mabry and back to the clay, courtesy of a cursed 18-wheeler, or at least that's what he told the park ranger. Amid bottles of pee and bumblebees, there's a freeway rolling past stands of trees. And you know the bit about horses and men. You can't save someone compulsively brave, and try and just drags you down with them. What's the use in climbing when falling such easy? Wanders and wanders down paths just like these. Amid bottles of pee and bumblebees, there's a freeway rolling past stands of trees. The lines in the bathroom, they tasted like taffy. He gradually moved on to something more tacky. Sat in the mirror with brushes and paste, marking meticulous masks of his face. Spends a lot of time thinking on old friends, but sorry is a promise you won't do it again. In the hotels and but he's still doing time. Amid bottles of pee and bumblebees, there's a freeway rolling past stands of trees.
That's wonderful, Pear. The first song I've ever heard that mentioned bottles of pee, and not only that, but multiple times. And it just brings me right back to living in the back of a pickup truck and staying in cheap hotels. Yeah, totally. I stayed in a cheap hotel one time, and somebody broke in at broke the door down at 1 a.m. That was the most memorable. And then the police, when they came, they were suspecting me basically because I was living in a back of a pickup truck, and they probably saw the bottle of pee, and they're like, "Oh, okay, he pees in a bottle in the back of a pickup truck. This guy's definitely suspicious."
Yeah, he can.
Who cares about the fact that this other guy just broke into his hotel room?
Yeah, we didn't have anything quite that exciting, but there were definitely, nights when you're hearing screaming matches through the paper thin wall, and you're going, "Man, this will not deflect a bullet, not even a little bit."
No.
If it comes through here.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. It's fun. I like doing the tours, but again, maybe next year.
Yeah, now during the pandemic, the idea of peeing in a bottle in the back of a pickup truck really sounds exciting, kind of.
Right, it's almost romantic.
Yeah. Although I guess there's a lot more people doing it now than a year ago.
Yeah. It's romantic because I don't have to do it.
And yeah, when you do it by choice, it's romantic. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks so much, Pear.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. And then moving to New York, who I believe this is, Joel, you're going to be our first guest from New York on this open mic, which is sort of remarkable. But wonderful to have you back.
Thank you. It's indeed a confusing honor. So you want to know what's going on in my hometown this past week?
Yeah.
I woke up, 6th of July, 4th of July weekend. I'd say there's displaced energy and a bit of confusion. I'll explain. Woke up this morning to find out that over the weekend, there were 31 shootings in New York.
Mm.
That number had been down for the past couple of years. 48 people were shot. And that's all amongst the talk of defunding police. So I don't know what the equation is for that.
Mm.
What might happen from the shootings taking place and the arguments that might ensue. On the school front, it's public schools are now closed, but the question is, will we open in September? And the mayor boldly proclaimed that, yes, we're opening in September. And there'll be some kind of modal way cohort thing that will be decided. But then the governor is saying, oh, wait a minute. It's not your call. And he's all about the numbers. Personally, I'm thinking you got to take a look at the August hospitalization and testing numbers to decide whether we're doing anything in September. So how is the mayor declaring that in July? What's going to happen in September? I'd say there's a bit of confusion going on here.
So, I think the term clusterfuck was invented to describe these kinds of situations.
Personally, I'm a teacher in a New York City school.
Well, so you probably use the word clusterfuck on a regular basis.
I don't use that. I just know where I'm not going to be going until I feel safe.
Right.
I teach at one of the older, big old schools, New Utrecht High School in Brooklyn, New York. Mm. You know, the first thing I found out when I was hired 15 years ago, I asked a principal, so did anybody famous graduate from here? And he told me the Three Stooges did. Oh, great. Great. We're famous idiots. No, but it's Buddy Hackett went there. Robert Merrill went there. It's one of those old New York schools. My mom went there. Small world. You know what I did once? I went down. My mom went to this school. Am I a teacher first or am I a son first? I went down to transcripts and I wanted to go, what were my mom's grades? So I looked up my mom's grades and then I went home to my mom's place and grounded her for a week without television. You call these grades? What? What? Yeah, I did that.
Unfair.
Now, on a positive note, I went for a long walk in Forest Park. I go for walks with my daughter. It's a safe place to go for a walk. Mm. And There were a lot of fireflies this weekend.
Oh, wow. Beautiful.
I heard that insecticide and fertilizer were doing in the fireflies. No. So I wanted to report something positive, too. So something's happening.
I remember the bringing somebody from the West Coast to the East Coast, and she had never been to the East Coast, and I was there when she saw fireflies for the first time, and she had never heard about their existence before. It was such a magical few minutes.
Yeah, I would imagine. It's like seeing snow for the first time in your life.
Yeah, it is.
So there's good stuff, too. You have to look forward sometimes.
Absolutely. Fireflies in Forest Park.
Well, this song is something I sang a lot during the Kavanaugh hearings. I wonder why it's the men who make the rules of who shall die and who goes to better schools, of who is born and whose rights we can deny. It makes no sense, I wonder why. I wonder when the grand compromise was made. I wasn't asked my opinion, I'm afraid. And now I see precious time is passing by. And there's no change, I wonder why. Why does everybody seem to understand answers they care to deny? Won't someone tell me, at least lend a hand? But you're silent, my friend, I wonder why. I wonder why I am told to watch my health, while those who speak get to sell it for their wealth. It seems for different people, different rules apply. Don't you agree? I wonder why. Loving parents teach their children not to fight. They comfort nightmares in the middle of the night. They take assurance that their child will never cry. Then they rape the world, I wonder why. Why does everybody seem to understand answers they care to deny? Won't someone tell me, at least lend a hand? But you look at me strange, I wonder why. I wonder why people scream for law and might. That's how it's been. We still don't have it right. What are we doing? Let's give knowing that a try. Don't think we will. I wonder why. Why does everybody seem to understand answers we care to deny? Won't someone tell me,
at least lend a hand. Have you nothing to say? I wonder why. You are turning away. I wonder why. Is this how it will stay? I wonder why.
I wonder why too. Thank you, Joel.
Few answers, but many questions.
Yeah, that's for sure. Take care.
Bye-bye.
See you again. Bye-bye. And hopping back across the Atlantic to Manchester, Tony Harper. Hi, wonderful to have you back. My co-host woke up.
She's awake.
Yeah.
She did pretty well, though.
So yeah, she napped for the first hour.
Yeah. So how things were you? So you said there's been more people being driven into and stuff, and I haven't seen that come through over here.
It's not really, I mean, it seems so commonplace that it's not necessarily making the national headlines. Yeah. You have to look for local headlines now, which is very worrying. But yeah, in Seattle.
This was a July the 4th stuff. This was
2 days ago. Yeah, a protest in Seattle. It was folks who had taken the highway and somebody in a Jaguar drove around the blockades and then sped up and drove into the crowd.
Yeah.
And he got arrested because one of the protesters got in a car and chased him down and blocked the car. So then the cops arrested him. But
it's a kind of defining moment of the which side are you on? We've got lots of Black Lives Matter stuff here happening, and it's very young, you know. Mm-hmm. Lots of young people who've never done anything before. Well, not in the way they're doing it now.
Yeah.
And there's some white lives. There's a white lives argument that's still sort of, most people have put it to bed, I think. But there was a group of white lives. There's a great image of white lives protesters. They climbed up a hill. Mam Tor, it's a hill not far away from Manchester. Nice scene. They climbed up to the top. There's about 20 of them. And they hid behind this huge banner that said White Lives Matter on the top of a hill where no one could see them. Someone took a photograph of it, but you can't see their faces. You don't know who they are. I mean, it's the most bizarre thing in the world. You know, and there's all these protests in the cities and the towns and stuff, and everybody's
strange.
Up for it.
So yeah.
Very, very weird.
Yeah,
we had a good protest in town last Saturday, which was a trans rights thing, and it was three protests. There was a young woman who's been pushed into a canal, a young Somali woman who died and drowned. Protest for her, and a trans protest, and a Black Lives Matter protest, and they kind of coalesced. All three came together, which was great.
Oh yeah,
so.
Yeah,
hello.
They belong together.
Right, I'm gonna do a song that I wrote ages ago, about four or five years ago.
Great.
Listening to Dave singing about the migrant workers in the NHS and stuff. This was one I wrote when the bodies were being washed up in the Mediterranean, which is kind of. So it's called Let Them In. Didn't start the war, though it's crushing them to the ground. They get hit by a razor wire every time they find land. And there's one way we can change it. We all know what it is. Let them in. Roll up the wire, let them in. Tear down the borders and let them in. They're rammed onto flimsy boats and it's there they'll ride their luck. And if the waves don't get them, then it's locked inside the back of a truck. And there's one way we can change it. We'll know what it is. Just let them in. Tear down the walls, let them in. Stop pushing the boats back, let them in. Well, profit knows no borders as it circulates the globe. But our brothers and our sisters, they get blocked on every road. And there's one way we can change it. We all know what it is. Just let them in. Tear down Trump's cages and let them in. Roll up the wire. Bankers and their bosses, they don't bring freedom, only strife. When the workers of the world stand united, we can forge a better life. And there's one way we can change it. We all know what it is. Just let them in. Open up at the borders, let them in. Roll up the wire, let them in.
Yes, absolutely.
That's it.
Simple solution after all is said and done. Absolutely. Thank you, Tony Harper.
Yeah, good to see you.
Great to see you. Come back soon.
I'll try and do. I'm working on a bit of banjo, but I'm not going out an awful lot, so I'm doing a bit on banjo and stuff. So I might do a banjo thing.
Yeah, quarantine is a great time to learn new skills.
It is. Yeah. Indeed. Take care, David.
You all too, Tony. And then Bev Grant in New York. So wonderful to see you.
That was a really lovely song.
Wasn't it?
I really like that.
That was so nice. Yeah. The simplest choruses are sometimes just the
they
best.
They say it all.
Yeah. Well, I kind of know what you're about to do. I'm the only I might be the only person who knows what you're going to do, but I'm really looking forward to hearing it. You want to tell us about this song?
I'm going to do a David Rovich song that I heard him. He posted it about, maybe a week ago. And I liked it. And I don't write as prolifically as David. David is like one of the most prolific writers I know, I think. Maybe a song a day. But anyway, I thought I would learn his song and sing it on his show. It's called Elijah Played the Violin. To figure out how to get into this. His family moved from Denver to Aurora. His mama thought they'd be safer out there, away from all the hubbub of the city, closer to the mountains and fresh air. Some kids are into fancy cars and football, or getting a tattoo upon their shin. But Elijah played the violin. Most kids are into hamburgers and hot dogs. Other kids just do things their own way. Elijah was a vegetarian, and on his lunch breaks he would go and play. He played music for the animals at the shelter. He was always welcomed with a grin. Elijah played the violin. As a young man, he moved in with his cousin and became a massage therapist. He was kind, he was open-handed, while others seemed to only show the fist, like the cops who looked at him with suspicion, approaching full of prejudice with it. Elijah played the violin. Well, they slammed him to a wall and pushed him to the ground. Although he made no effort to fight back, they choked him till he vomited and then choked him some more. No body cams recorded the attack. Elijah said he couldn't breathe, begged for his life. They shot him with a needle full of ketamine. Elijah played the violin. Elijah was dead from cardiac arrest. He had not committed one offense aside from being black in these disunited states and existing in the present tense. The cops claimed they were following procedure, sentenced to death for the color of his skin. Elijah played the violin. Elijah played the violin. Elijah played the violin.
Lovely, lovely rendition. I can't say I never heard the song before, but
right. You know, I was last week I participated in a Zoom gathering about the death penalty, and it's a group of faith workers who get together and go to the Supreme Court, you know, to demand the end of the death penalty, and they testify. And it was quite a moving event that Charlie King, you know, Charlie goes to whenever it happens, and he invited me to participate this year. So generally it's on the steps of the Supreme Court. This year it was on Zoom, which I could do from right here, which was very nice. But what was really, really interesting to me, because I had the thought the same day in the morning about the death penalty. They discussed at length the extrajudicial death penalty, which is what is happening daily on our streets. And I thought that connection was really something to be explored more. And we as artists can do that.
Yes.
So that's all I have to say.
Very good. Thank you so much, Bev Grant. See you again soon, I hope.
Yeah.
And then, moving to British Columbia, we are in Vancouver with Mike Marker. There you go. Yeah, wonderful, so David, to see you.
Here's what's happening in Vancouver. I don't know if you hear much about this in the States, but in Canada, this is a big deal. The Supreme Court of Canada, just this last week, right before the weekend, decided to not hear the appeal of the Tsleil-Waututh, Squamish, and those indigenous groups that are opposing the forced pipeline through their territory. And so now they're going to have to, I mean, they're going to have to rely on some other means.
More blockades, perhaps?
Blockades, and we can anticipate some large demonstrations for indigenous rights and land. And, I mean, this is basically crude bitumen, you know, from the tar sands, the worst stuff. If it spills, it's an absolute ecological catastrophe.
And it spills constantly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not if it spills. It's when it spills, right? Mm. It's like, because it's going to, you know. So I went back and I realized I have a song that's already written. I don't need to write a new song for this pipeline because I already have a song that is, you'll find it historic. So do you remember the Exxon Valdez?
Yeah, I wrote a song about it.
you did. Okay, so I did too. So here's my song.
Great.
See what you think. Gold's at $3.80 an ounce this morning. The market is rallying. The Dow Jones is up 4.75 on the New York Exchange. 4.75 on the New York Exchange. Boeing looks great. Locals are strong and they're coming along. Exxon's up still, a result of the spill. Demand is increasing with orders to fill, and oil is going sky high. But in Prince William Sound, the oil's going down to be sludge on the floor and slime on the shore. Then what's to stop Exxon from doing it more? Clean up the mess, no, they'd rather be sued than deal with those millions of gallons of crude. New housing starts are much better than ever, with standards just slackened a bit. The wetlands must go if we're gonna make dough. So sit back and watch the economy grow. The dollar is sound, so's the yen and the pound. Consumer commodities soar. The Exxon apology later today. We'll hear what the president might have to say. The bosses who sit at the top of the heap are fleecing their paid off political sheep. In June, oh, they bomb and they bleed, saying let's not get caught in the heat. The ocean turns black, but don't overreact. It'll all be dispersed in a decade or so. The money can't grow if the oil doesn't flow. Sit back and watch the economy grow. And oil is going sky high. But in Prince William Sound, the oil's going down to be sludge on the floor and slime on the shore. And then what's to stop Exxon from doing it more? Clean up the mess, no, they'd rather be sued and deal with those millions of gallons of crude. Yes, clean up the mess and change the whole plan. No, it's just a mistake. Can't you all understand? Gold's at 480, 580, 680 an ounce this morning.
Ah, brilliant. Absolutely fantastic the way you work the stock market into that, and there's a few good songs out there that use that kind of stock market reference, like to, you know, and that is definitely one of the very best I've ever heard. That's fantastic.
Oh, thanks, David. So I definitely wanted to write into that song that it's all connected. You know, there's this huge connection, and that really, I mean, you'd think that that Exxon would be like, man, this is going to hurt us. But actually, it's just like, oh, there's now, because it spilled all over Prince William Sound, it's going to be a shortage of oil. The delivery from the Exxon Valdez is not going to happen. So that raises the price. So it's almost like everything they do turns into everything that's toxic and dangerous. They can turn it into profit.
They can turn it into profit. That's just
weird, weird shit of capitalism.
So weird, right? And then we see that now with the pandemic, you know, and the capitalists, the billionaires are making many more billions.
Totally, you know. Yeah. So anyway, that takes you back to Alaska. And I mean, that's, again, I thought that'd be an appropriate song, not only given the politics of what's going on with the pipeline and through Indigenous people's lands, but also, I wanted to, since everyone else is doing songs from their own geography, you know, we have to really be place-based. And I love the songs from the UK. And and so I just thought, well, this is a real Pacific Northwest song, eh?
Definitely. Definitely. All
right. Thanks so
much. Thank you, Mike.
We'll see you next week.
Great. See you then. And our last, but definitely not least, guest for the open mic, moving back to England, to Tim Hollins. Wonderful to have you here. Who's the photo behind you?
Hi there, David. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, yes. You're great.
Yeah, well.
Who's that? Who's that behind you?
I was working with Antonia Dardair and Dave Rogers on those slides that they were trying to share earlier on.
Oh,
and they worked perfectly when we did them on a fundraising event.
Zoom, it worked, right? I just got to figure out how it works on StreamYard. It seemed like the basic principles were the same, but it didn't work the same somehow. It went blank instead of working.
No explanation for that. But we were saying after we'd done it and it worked so well, maybe that would work on David's open mic. So anyway. Are you still there? Hi, Koto.
Still here, just playing with the baby.
Yeah. So I've gone low tech rather than high tech. I got a poster and pinned it up with a couple of paper clips.
It works. Don't need any share screen for that. Yeah,
exactly.
Great.
Long live the 1970s. Well, that's Victor Jara of Chile.
Victor Jara, wonderful.
And I put up on my name on the screen a website which is of a festival. Which I'm part of a group that organize. Actually, I think I can probably do without the headphones. Let's just do that. And like all the festivals in the pandemic, the festival had to be cancelled, of course. So we moved online and we're going to do it on Zoom and on Facebook instead at the end of July and the beginning of August. So if anybody wants to come and listen to lots of songs commemorating Victor Jara, Victor Violeta Parra, Salvador Allende, and other new song writers and activists from the Latin American world, then come onto the website there, and there's a link to the festival there. So we're trying an online festival. We've no idea whether it's going to work, but we hope it will.
And for those
I thought I'd use the open mic as a shameless plug.
Yeah, good. And for those who are listening, in the podcast,
I do need the headphones because I can't hear what you're saying. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, for those who are listening in podcast form later and can't see the screen, that is elsueñoexiste.com.
Yes, elsueñoexiste.
ELSUENOEXISTE. Elsueñoexiste.com. Yeah, good. When is
and that means the dream carries on, or the dream lives on, is great. When you're in Spanish. And that's at the end of July, the last day, 31st of July, in the evening here, which is about now. So whenever this is at the moment, wherever you're, what time zone you're in now, this is roughly when it's going to be on the 31st, live anyway. Great. And then on the evenings afterwards. The first evening is going to be about Chile, past and present. The second evening is going to be about the Amazon and the crisis in the Amazon and Brazil. And the third evening is going to be about festivals past and future, including El Salvador, because we should have a live link into El Salvador if that works. And some amazing music, rural campesino music and dance from the countryside of El Salvador.
Ah, wonderful.
So yeah, here we go. So there's Victor Jara, and this first song is by Adrian Mitchell. I'm just going to segue straight into a song I wrote a couple of years ago about the festival, which is in Wales, called El Sueño Existe, and it just is my kind of impressions of coming together to celebrate Victor Jara and everything that he stood for, and Salvador Allende, and a festival today. So this first song is by Adrian Mitchell, and the tune is by Arlo Guthrie. It's called Victor Jara of Chile. Victor Jara of Chile lived like a shooting star, fought for the people of Chile with his songs and his guitar. His hands were gentle, his hands were strong. Victor Jara was a peasant, working a few years old. He sat upon his father's plow and watched the earth unfold. His hands were gentle, his hands were strong. When the neighbors had a wedding, one of the children died. His mother sang all night for them, with Victor by her side. His hands were gentle, his hands were strong. He grew up to be a fighter against the people's wrongs. Listen to their grief and joy, turn them into songs. His hands were gentle, his hands were strong. He sang about the copper miners, those who worked the land. He sang about the factory workers, and they knew he was their man. His hands were gentle, his hands were strong. Campaign for Allende, working night and day. He sang, take your sister and your brother's hands, a future begins today. His hands were gentle, his hands were strong. Then the generals seized Chile. arrested Victor then. Caged him in the stadium with 5,000 women and men. His hands were gentle, his hands were strong. Victor stood in the stadium, his voice was brave and strong. He sang for his fellow prisoners till the guards cut short his song. His hands were gentle, his hands were strong. He broke the bones in both his hands, beat him about the head, tore his body with electric shocks, and then they shot him dead. His hands were gentle, his hands were strong. Now the generals ruled Chile, the British had their thanks, for they ruled with Hawker Hunter jets, and they ruled with chieftain tanks. His hands were gentle, his hands were strong. That was 1973, and ever since the year 2000, in a little market town in Wales called Machynlleth, which I can't say properly, I try, we have a festival to commemorate Victor Jara, Salvador Allende, and come together to meet and sing, political discussions, workshops, theatre, dance, poetry, and so on, and it's all online this year, so come along to, through the website. So this is a song I wrote after a festival 2 years ago. I call it the Sueño Express because it's the little train that gets you over the hills of Wales to the little town of Machynlleth, ancient capital of Owenglandur in the 14th century, and his resistance against England. Come take a ride on the Sueño Express, pack your tent and a rainbow dress. Then you'll have many a tale to tell, cause Victor Jara is alive and well. In the Hunkler, in the Hunkler, in the Hunkler. It's a festival in three languages, Spanish, English, Welsh. So it's En Machynlleth, in Machynlleth, and in Welsh, Am Machynlleth. Meet new comrades on the way, hear poems of the mists, tales of Che. Harps and guitars drift through the air, and everyone brings something to share. In the Hunkler, in the Hunkler, I'm the Hunkler. The town where Owenglandur fought, where the songs of the hills are sung and taught. Melodies float and voices swell in Spanish, English, Dutch and Welsh. In the Hunkler, in the Hunkler, I'm the Hunkler. All for one, one for all, a green tomorrow is our goal. Children making masks of mirth as a shaman calls to Mother Earth. In the Hunkler, in the Hunkler, in the Hunkler. Feel the spirit, wipe a tear, our rainbow nation gathers here. Where solidarity is our credo. El pueblo unido jamás será vencido. En la junta, en la junta, en la junta. Don't mind, you don't get any weather. The sun shines bright and the rain pours down. and Victor Hara is back in town. Faces of his children gleam, we are his tribe, we share his dream. Party's over, time to go. The Sueño Express will get you home. With hearts aglow and memories misty, you'll be back for us when you existed. On Facebook this year, instead of the phone. Victor Hara of Chile lived like a shooting star, fought for the people of Chile with his songs and his guitar. His hands were gentle, his hands were strong. His hands were gentle, his hands were strong. His hands were gentle, his hands were strong.
I love the combination working that song into the song by Adrian Mitchell and Arlo Guthrie. That's fantastic. Beautiful and a wonderful conclusion to this week's open mic. Thanks so much, Tim.
Okay, thanks very much. And,
you couldn't hear any of that, but it was just I was just saying nice things about you. Thank you very much.
It's me and me about that. Okay. No, great.
Take care, Tim. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that has been, that concludes the 11th weekly Pandemic Open Mic Monday. And I hope you'll come back for number 12. And if anybody out there who might have been watching or who watches at some point over the course of the next week wants to join the next one, then it's just a matter of going to davidrovics.com/POMM to sign up. And we'd love to see you here in cyberspace. I will be doing other broadcasts every weekday this week at the same time, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. GMT, 7 p.m. in Berlin. I'll be talking tomorrow as in my role as every Tuesday as host of the weekly interview show Fifth Estate Live, produced by Peter Werby, hosted by me. I will be interviewing Professor John Zerzan, who is a brilliant man who teaches at the, or I don't know if he's still teaching, at the University of Oregon anyway, from Eugene, I believe, last I checked. And then on Wednesday, I will be talking to the founder of the Kensington Rights Welfare League, who also has been involved with a zillion other similar projects since then, from Philadelphia, Sherry Hankala, well, originally from Minneapolis, I guess, but Philadelphia, known to be a Philadelphian, Sherry Hankala, on Wednesday. Although I just noticed that she's in the hospital with COVID-19. So we'll see if that interview is taking place from the hospital or somewhere else. Or she may have tested negative, but she's getting treated. I was just looking at her public Instagram post, so I'm not telling you anything that's a secret. Thursday, I'll be interviewing once again Mike Africa, also from Philadelphia. Of the MOVE organization. That's my baby complaining, but I'll be with her in a minute. And then on Friday, I'll be talking to Margot Black from Portland Tens United, math professor here in Portland, Oregon. And I hope you'll tune into some of those discussions. And thanks for tuning into this open mic. And I hope to see you on the road, in the streets, in cyberspace, and with a rope around a statue. Bye for now.